You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 126 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Cashel Company. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we chat with ASPCA, the Right Horse Program Director, Kaylin Caldwell, about Adopt a Horse Month. We catch up with Making the Makeover writer, Dana Johnson, on how her makeover hopeful is progressing. And last but not least, we introduce you to our Adoptable Horse of the Week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you're listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Well, Kristen, I feel like since our last episode, where we started out with maybe not the happiest news, I feel we've had better luck over the next, or well, today. The last few weeks have at least been better, I feel like.
Yeah. And, you know, like as Northerners, like once the days get longer and the sun comes out and the ground dries out, it's hard to be down about anything for long because we get so little sun up here. Exactly. You know, you're like, the sun's, everything's going to be okay. It's all going to be fine. So,
exactly. Yeah. Immediately, as soon as it's over 50 degrees and mildly sunny, you're like, you know what? Maybe life's not that bad.
Yeah. What's that meme? Like, you know, you don't think seasonal affective disorder is real. And then the sun comes out and you feel like you popped a Molly. That's like exactly how I feel all the time now. I'm like, it's amazing outside. So yeah, we got baby cows. We got horses starting on spring grazing, which is like a month long process here. So we're up to an hour and a half today. We'll go up to an hour and 45 tomorrow. So,
gosh.
And, yeah, we're riding, you know, so that's great. We've actually,
how fresh have your horses been after their winter vacation?
I will say, admittedly, the thoroughbreds have gotten more consistent work than Wes, but Wes is the spiciest.
Like, I love that. He's my favorite.
He's so fun, but he's so short, like he's so short coupled, like stem to stern, that when he kind of like tucks up and puts his head down, I'm like, oh, I might actually fall off. Like last night, I was like, oh, he almost got Eric unseated the other day. It's just funny. We just laugh at him, which probably makes him more mad, but we have a good time. He just like trying to lope him off. He's like, I'm spicy, but he's not coordinated enough to really like Bronco.
That's so cute, especially because he's not like a young buck.
No, he's 20. He is 20 years old.
I have like a theory that as geldings get older, they just like slowly become like a Clint Eastwood. Like there's just something like gritty and a little sassy about them.
Yeah. Yeah. He might be aging like, what's his face from Yellowstone? Kevin Costner, that guy, you know, that guy whose name I forgot.
Guy.
He thinks he's as cool as Kevin Costner. He's not, he's just a goon, but he's,
I mean, I would argue that he's pretty cool at Kevin Costner.
He's very cool. Yeah. Eric was loping him off the other night and I was like, wait a minute. Cause Eric's had a hard time with like a little bit of bouncing at the lope on Shorty, who admittedly is like a full hand taller and like much leggier and bigger strided and harder to sit. Like I mean,
Shorty's feet are awkward. Like there's a lot
everything
of
about Shorty is odd. Yeah.
Going against
like
him.
he's long everywhere where Wes is very compact and Eric goes and lopes him off. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like there's a video where like my commentary, I'm like, why can you sit the lope on the standard bread? And we always do this, right? We're like, oh, standard bread,
physics.
Ha, 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 ha. But like, he like lopes off beautifully, like butt in the saddle, no bouncing, like leg exactly where it needs to be. And I was like, what is happening right now?
We also have a theory about male riders. And for all our male listeners, don't come at us. It's just a working theory as females who have no actual intellect into this. But could it be possible, because Wes actually might be bouncier, that Eric has things he must protect, and so his body is instinctually sitting the slope.
Maybe, but it doesn't transfer to Shorty, who's far bouncier. Like, well, I know when you rode Wes, you hollered across the field. I was like, "Don't you love it?" And you're like, "It's as smooth as chunky peanut butter."
Well,
as he loped by me, and it was really
but
funny.
But I had Arabs, and I have a very dainty thoroughbred, so my comparisons aren't fair.
But I should have made you ride all three of them and Gandalf for good measure. now that he's gone, like anytime you had the opportunity to ride Gandalf, you should have taken it. But I didn't think of it at the time because we didn't know we were going to lose him. But yeah, you should have ridden all three and you would have been like, oh, Shorty's just hard. Everything about him is difficult. So it's fine. I mean, yeah, like we've worked all the spring sillies out of Jobber and Shorty and now they're almost borderline lazy already.
Good.
So I'm like, that's great. That's a fine place to be. Like every year it gets a little easier. And every year I also get braver about just like, keep your hands above the bit and kick on and laugh, as opposed to like grab the mane and panic, you know, when Jobber was like, I'm salty. So yeah, we're making progress.
There you go.
And we got 9 calves on the ground.
That's exciting.
I've been really lax. I'm sorry, everybody. I know everybody watches our story to see baby cows, and I've been really lax, so I will try to catch up.
I just assume that's been like low drama and you have been able to catch the action. I'm like, man, this calving season wasn't nearly as dramatic and suspenseful as last.
8 out of 9 have been low drama. The 9th is actually the second cow, and he's living in my sister-in-law's backyard because he no longer has a mother. So that one's kind of a bummer. She passed away. She just had a really rough calving and didn't make it. But his name is Norman, and he lives in her backyard now and comes to the door. He's gone blind in one eye because he just had all sorts of challenges from birth. Mm-hmm. But she'll open the door in the evening. And, you know, if we're out back of the barn tidying stuff up, I'll just hear Norman. And then I hear a little moo. And I look and here he comes tottering up the yard.
He is so cute, too.
He's like, very cute.
Getting to see pictures of him. Yeah, I've been rooting for him.
Yeah, I shouldn't say anything because there's any number of things that can take out a calf, but he's made it far longer than any of us were expecting. So, and he's had a lovely, very enriching short life living in her backyard, like playing with her toddler's playground equipment. So, you know, it's a good
plus.
Yeah. Well, how about you? How's spring in Detroit?
Yes. So I've been having the chance to work with some other horses. One of them is Millie, who I lovingly call Mildred when she's being naughty. And she is the horse my student adopted from Mereworthy Charities. And she's been so much fun. Like, honestly, like she definitely went through a series of grief when she had to leave her last home. And I mean, her breeder owned her, and like that was her only owner for her 12 years of life. So that was definitely a big shift for her. But now, like, she loves her kid. It's so cute. Like, she looks for my student when we're out there, and like, it's really cool to see their partnership. But also, Millie's not the most fit horse. We're working through it. She was a broodmare and she had some light riding over the winter. You know, you can only do so much. You know, we did a lot of hand walking and a lot of relationship building, but now she gets to actually go to work and she's lazy. Oh my goodness. She is the laziest horse I've worked with in a long time. And she gets her feelings hurt really easily. And she's not mean or does anything naughty, but she pouts. And like when we're done riding, like her ears are kind of like flat. And she's just like, that was hard. And you can just tell, like, that's her vibe. Like, that was too hard.
Which is funny, because if she was a broodmare, I'd be like, that was hard, right? But
yeah. I know. she has about 20 minutes where she's like, this is fun. And then after we like get into some harder things to like really push her fitness. And by harder things, I'm like light lateral work, actually bending through and holding our balance on the circles. And she's like, no.
Okay. I would love to talk about that more, actually, because like that's such a hard thing to balance, is how long to ride for. Mm-hmm. Like, we get greedy, right? Like, I'll be like, oh, something's going well. Let's for do it sure. 400 more times. And that's like not.
I feel like this is a place I've really mastered of like building a horse's endurance after my horse now understanding her diagnosis. Like, we get somewhere and then we have to take a step back and then we kind of work our way back up. So I feel like this is a place I can speak to very well. So I always like to see kind of where their tipping point is when we first are riding. So I never drive hard. Like, I honestly look at the walk, like how good is the quality of the walk? If they fall in early on, or if they seem to struggle and like want to put all their weight on their shoulder, I see how long we can have a good walk for, which tells me a lot about the fitness I'm working with that day. So if they can shift their weight and tend to do a lot of good things in the walk, then you can start to add some more trot in. And then I like to do a mixture of like trot sets and walk sets. So maybe I'll do 4 to 6 minutes of a trot set on an unfit horse. And I don't sometimes the focus is just, we're going forward and I don't care where their head is or how they're using their body. I just need them forward and pushing into it if they tend to be a sticky or lazy horse. And if they do have the cardio energy, then we can start to focus more in how do you bend through corners and adding in some serpentines or adding in half circles for an unfit horse, just learning to get there. So it's really dissecting each step. And then once they can hold, you know, the 20 meter circle, they seem to be pretty consistent, adding 5 to 10 minutes each time. Because in those trot sets, I might do 2 with 4 to 6 minutes of walk in between, then go back and like add 3 or 4 more trot sets. And then the goal for me is, can we get to about 40, 45 minutes of decent work? And that includes a 10 minute warm up. And then I like to take them out of the arena for a cool down on a nice day. So if you can add about 5 minutes each week, that's a good way to do it. And unless a horse can maintain their balance through their trot work, I will not canter. Unless you're in a big arena where you can allow them to have some bursts and you're using that to build the booty muscles and all of that stuff, to rush into the canter on a horse that can't even balance at the walk or the trot to me is not worthwhile. I think you start to get some gaps. If you argue with me, I'm good with it, to each their own, but that's my personal philosophy, is start with the walk, the trot, feel good with it, and then start to add that canter in. They don't have to have a headset, but ideally they start to lower their head, reaching for a bit, reaching for contact, and they start to learn that strength. Very quick synopsis.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about like our approach in the spring, although our moving on to the lope is dictated mostly by like, how hard did they try to run off with you at the trot?
And yeah. And sometimes you just got to let them have it. Like if they want to go and they tell you they need to run it out, like best judgment, as long as they're not.
Oh girl, if I had an arena, I would do that way more. It's way scarier on 20 acres with ditches and rocks.
Yeah. I'm not that brave. I don't even like to leave the arena that much.
Well, you did great when you were like trotting and loping across the pasture at our place. But yeah, in the springtime, that is a little, that can be, you know, I'm like, oh, point them up a hill. That doesn't work when the hill is like muddy or, you know, like in at our farm, we have a bog at the top of the hill. So you're like, that's great until you hit the bog, you know?
So, exactly.
But yeah, we're up to about like 8 minutes of trotting kind of off and on. And I think our approach, and I don't know that this is better. This is probably not better at all. This is probably like not the way we need to do it, but we tend to focus so much when we are doing like those early walk and then a little trot rides out in the pasture. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of the lateral work and the footwork then to make sure that the horse is focused on us as opposed to like,
I think it's a good one to do. Like I love lateral work. I don't think they need a ton of fitness to be working on that.
Yeah.
Because right, it helps exactly build the fitness.
Well, and then they're balanced. And then they are naturally wanting to get on the bit if your lateral work is correct. But I think the problem with that is that then we get too sucked into the lateral work later when they are like, I'm a little tired and I'm struggling. And we're like, okay, but what if you did this? And they're like, no.
I think it's having an idea of what the quality feels like too. And that's what I typically use for my judgment of when is the quality starting to fall apart with the horse. And I think that's even in the walk. Like if they're not feeling up to it, they're struggling in the walk to just maintain any type of balance or seem to be more sticky or annoyed through leg pressure. I might say, we're going to do one more lap. Or like, we're just going to go past one of your thresholds and then we're going to be done.
Yeah. And like, we're a month out from our first horse show. So it's like, it feels like tick, 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 you know, the time is ticking, got to get them fit. But the reality is this, and this is what's hard to remember, is that it's not a linear journey. Right. Like, especially with fitness. I mean, you know, even with fitness, none of it is linear. Right. So sometimes it's like choking down that you're going to take a step back today and that's okay. And that's hard to do when you're like, I've only got 4 weeks, you know, to try
to get sometimes you get that momentum where it's like, man, they're really like putting on the fitness. It's going great. And then
you get greedy.
You get greedy or they have an off day and they're like, whoa, what just happened? Mm-hmm. especially like being a mayor person, that that lovely seasonal situation that you get with them. Some days you're just not going to have a hardworking day. And as a woman, I can totally relate. I get it. It might just be an easy day those days. Geldings too, they have their sore days. They have their, you know, grumpy days. They have playful days. Each horse has its own personality. That's the beauty of the partnership. You know, I'm in the same boat too. Millie, I'm taking her to her very first show May 4th. And we are not going to look cute. I'm so happy. It's like a warm and fuzzy show, like just for fun. But we want to take her out and let her see some things and be in a show environment to take it in. I signed her up for walk track because while she can canter, and it's a pretty decent canter, she's so unfit that I think the day is going to exhaust her.
Oh yeah, just the process. Yeah, that's a lot. So yeah, I mean, we don't give mental work enough credit for how tiring it is.
I think she's going to be a little bit surprised by everything. So like, okay, we know we can walk trot pretty well. It's probably going to be 2 to 3 minutes in the class, like very short. And then that allows her just to spend her energy taking everything else in. Like we can hack around the property and let her see stuff. So just trying to be more fair to her of that expectation, knowing that she can barely make it about 30 minutes in the arena on a focused ride in an environment she knows.
Love it.
Yeah. Good, so definitely exciting stuff.
Yeah. I can't wait for that. Mildred. Yeah. I can't wait for that update. See Mildred at her show.
I'll definitely be posting some videos of her little quirkiness because she doesn't spook, which I appreciate, but she likes to longingly stare. So if she's not sure about something, she like lasers into it and doesn't move. And I'm like, at some point, we have to walk, Millie. Oh, like,
what a lady. Nope, we can stand here and stare at it.
Yes. That. So it should be fun. And it's keeping me occupied while we got the okay to bring Astrid back into work, which is nice. After her diagnosis, I posted about it on Instagram if anyone wants to take a look. So excited to see what that looks like in her new pleasure horse phase. But it's nice to not have the pressure. Like, we can really just take it whatever speed she wants to go and find out what our new norm's going to be. So updates to come there too.
Love that.
Yeah. But excited for this episode. I feel like it's going to be one of those warm and fuzzy shows because we're talking about Adopt a Horse Month. We're going to be talking about some initiatives to support aftercare. Like, and we have a Making the Makeover writer, which is always fun to hear how their journeys are going. So I'm pretty stoked to have just like a chill, fun episode. But before we get into all that, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Horses that are ridden regularly or those that live in hot, humid climates may lose more electrolytes than their bodies are capable of replacing with a normal diet. In these instances, it is necessary to replenish lost electrolytes and keep your horse drinking. Summer Games Electrolyte replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. Summer Games was developed for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Trust Summer Games Electrolyte to protect your horse when the going gets hot. To learn more, visit kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, I'm super excited to bring on our first guest. We have Kaylin Codwell from the ASPCA Right Horse Initiative. Welcome to the show, Kaylin.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be here today.
It's exciting to have you. We have partnered a couple times now with the Right Horse Program, and we know that they work very well with the RRP Thoroughbred Makeover. But we have a different initiative that we're featuring this episode, and that's Adopt a Horse Month, which The show is all about horse adoption. It is big into our main focus, so we're very excited to talk about it. But before we dive in, could you let listeners know a little bit about the Right Horse Program?
Yeah, it is an industry collaborative effort to massively increase horse adoption in its most simple form. So we work with industry partners like the Retired Racehorse Project, the Jockey Club, all the way to Horse Illustrated, all these amazing industry groups that want to see more horses help through adoption, and then adoption groups and aftercare organizations all around the country. And we're all coming together to innovate and talk about new ways that we can help horses get into adopted homes and popularize adoption, which is where Adopt a Horse Month so perfectly fits in.
I absolutely love that. And it fits right in here too. And the nice thing, because we do have a lot of listeners who don't have a thoroughbred or standardbred currently, this isn't exclusive to the thoroughbred and standardbred industries, although they're included, correct?
Yes, this is an all-breed celebration of equine adoption. So all the way from donkeys, and I should even say we extend this to equines, from donkeys and mules to thoroughbreds and everything in between. We're celebrating adoption on a big scale. And the really great thing is, whether you have horses or not, this is a month that everyone can get involved in to make a life-saving difference for horses.
I love it. So I get to sit in on Right Horse meetings once a month, in my day job at Retired Racehorse Project. And the meetings are just really cool because it's an opportunity for all these organizations to come together and just sort of like idea share. And I can't think of like a normal time, you know, where people would be able to do that, you know, like where a rescue in Michigan could speak to an organization in Florida and like sort of network a problem or, you know, crowdsource some information. It's really neat to see an organization that brings everybody together. You know, like, I get that we're all sort of competing for a limited pool of donor dollars, but there's no competition at Right Horse. It's just people working together to find solutions, which is really cool and very refreshing, I think. Not a question.
Yeah, that's really... Yeah, what the program is at its core. And like you said, bringing together all these diverse perspectives and figuring out what's working in one community. And if we can share that learning across, you know, our collective of partners is really what it's all about. And it's pretty neat to see, you know, one program might try some sort of initiative or program in their community and it works really well. And then they can share that back to the collective and horses win across the country. So it's great to hear that you've witnessed that. And that's really how it should work.
Yeah. Right. A win-win for everybody, especially the horses, which is the important part. So,
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Adopt a Horse Month. How did this initiative come to be and what can people expect from it?
So Adopt a Horse Month is really a month where we celebrate horses on a national scale and adoptable horses specifically. I'm sure you've heard of Adopt a Shelter Cat Month or Adopt a Shelter Dog Month, and we recognize that horses really needed the same spotlight because we're still working to popularize and normalize adoption, because many horses delay getting adopted simply because people don't know that they can go adopt a horse and that their right horse might be waiting for them at their local aftercare organization or rescue. So Adopt a Horse Month is all about bringing visibility to adoptable horses, engaging the horse-loving public around adoption, and shining a spotlight on the hundreds of incredible horses that are looking for homes.
Love it. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's weird in the thoroughbred industry, right? Because we have so many different routes where horses can move. You know, you have some of your, you know, sort of private business entities moving horses and then all of these other aftercare organizations. So can you speak to the thoroughbred and standardbred side of it? Do we have standardbred organizations in Right Horse? I can't think of any off the top of my head, but you would know better than me.
Yes, no, we do. We have, of course, New Vocations works with standardbreds, and then we have two other groups that are coming along the partnership pathway. Purple Haze and I guess Happy Trails is also a full partner, and Purple Haze focuses on standardbreds, and Happy Trails gets a fair number of standardbreds as well into their program and are both working with the STA. So we have quite a few standardbreds available for adoption at any given time through that network.
I love that. Yeah. And so I know, like, you know, in the past from looking through the site, you know, the Right Horse site sort of like pulls in all these listings into one like giant listing service, basically to show like all the horses that are available from all the partner organizations. And there are a lot of thoroughbreds available. Do you find like, you know, obviously I'm always sort of have my blinkers on, so to speak, to look for the thoroughbreds, but, you know, what kinds of other breeds are represented and like what, how many of them, like what percentage of the horses listed do you think are thoroughbreds?
Oh, that's a great question. So you're referencing myrighthorse.org, which is our adoptable horse listing site where all of our partners list their available horses. I would say, you know, at least 10%, if not more, at any given time are adoptable thoroughbreds. That's probably actually closer to 25%, depending on what horses are being listed. So there's a ton of amazing thoroughbreds looking for homes and standardbreds as well.
Nice. So what would be some of the advantages to looking, you know, specifically during Adopt a Horse Month?
It's really a great time to adopt a horse. You know, the benefits of adoption stay continuous, you know, month to month. And those really are that you're working with a great nonprofit organization. If you're adopting through an ASPCA Right Horse Partner, you know, they're going to be very tuned in to making sure that you find that right horse, and they'll want to know what you're looking for and are invested in making that great match. They're going to, you know, share every medical, you know, the medical history they know, the training history. They've done thorough evaluations when they brought that horse into their organization. And then they're going to support you. That's one of the great things about adoption is once you take that horse home, you've really joined a like-minded community of horse lovers. So if you ever encounter a training issue or, you know, have questions about what you want to do with your horse, you can always come back to that organization that you adopted from. And that horse also has a place to go if your life circumstances ever change. And by adopting during Adopt a Horse Month, you're really part of a national movement to make adoption more popular, and you're freeing up a stall that then will be able to help that next horse that needs a place to go to safely transition to their next home. So it can be a really meaningful and impactful time to adopt, and all those great benefits that you expect to see with adoption carry through when you choose to adopt during Adopt a Horse Month.
I love that. And like, I know, you know, I think in the thoroughbred industry, maybe it's a little more normalized maybe than other aspects of the horse industry, you know, that adoption is a totally like viable and, you know, not that it's not viable in other, you know, disciplines and stuff, but like, you know, that's a way that people regularly acquire thoroughbred. So you have all sorts of success stories, you know, of horses going on to be competitive sport horses, as well as great recreational partners. And I think that those are really cool stories to share. And like, maybe that's a way actually that the thoroughbred aftercare industry can really kind of help lead the way for horse adoption, you know, to point to all these great examples, you know, of horses who have gone on to do really cool things because adoption is sort of so normalized and accepted there, you know. So I'm hoping that, you know, you guys can find some success stories that way and sort of like mutually benefit each other, you know, thoroughbred aftercare and horse adoption in general, you know, to just say like, look, you know, this horse went on to do X, Y, and Z awesome things and won the makeover and, you know, did something cool. And like, that's totally a normal way to acquire a horse. So does it seem like it's a little slower to catch on, like outside of thoroughbreds and standardbreds?
Yeah, I would say our aftercare partners certainly have been blazing trails for many years. And that is true. It's changing very quickly. Horse adoption, we know, was not talked about as much in certain segments of the equine industry. And that, you know, as a result, there were people who really wanted to adopt but didn't even know it was an option. We hear that all the time when we're out at events. So I think you're right spot on when saying that, you know, the thoroughbred aftercare really can lead the way for across the disciplines, and those learnings transfer across all breeds and disciplines.
Yeah, like it's almost something we celebrate, but not like as a rare occurrence, right? Like, you know,
yeah.
Yes, that horse came from New Vocations. Yes, that horse was purchased directly. Yes, that horse came from New Vocations, you know, or Second Stride or, you know, your other partners without it being like a rare thing. So I think almost that sort of natural acceptance maybe can kind of help, you know, not that we don't want to celebrate these stories, but if we treat them as something more normal, you know, that happens, like this is just a thing that you do. You can go out and adopt a horse. So,
and these horses are everywhere competing. There's so many horses when you go to a horse show, you would have no idea came from an adoption organization or an aftercare organization, because they're, you know, amazing and out there thriving with their owners across the board. Yeah, so like you said, they're out there and celebrating the stories and realizing that there's so many horses in our communities that were adopted is a big part of Adopt a Horse Month.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Kristen, to your point, I think there's in the non-thoroughbred and standardbred world where aftercare adoption is a very common thing, probably the most common versus buying direct. I think that there might be a stigma in horse adoption for any other breed that's coming in of, you know, these horses had really rough lives and who knows what damages they have or behaviors they might have. And I'm making a very gross generalization here. But I feel like this type of program can really celebrate, you know, the work that any and all aftercare groups do to provide safe spaces for any horse and give them the care and love, get them healthy, get them restarted. I think adoption through horses, and let me know if I'm wrong, Kaylin, is really like an equitable way to bring horses to anyone who's interested in getting involved. Like, I'm looking through the list of your Meet the Horses on the website now, and there is horses of every color, shape, and size, different personalities, mm-hmm. different ages. Like, it's really beautiful to see. And these horses look healthy. They look good. They look ready to start their next series, where I think there might be that stigma. If I go to an aftercare site, like, my heart might break.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we know that stigma has traditionally existed about who an adoptable horse is. So sometimes we even focus on reframing the language about who an adoptable horse is, simply referring to them as an adoptable horse. Or sometimes we use the phrase horses in transition, because that's simply what they are. They're just transitioning between one home or vocation to the next. And there's endless possibilities for how they might be loved and celebrated in their next home. So reframing that language really helps challenge that stigma and helps people open their minds that maybe I can find that horse that I'm looking for at an aftercare organization or an adoption group just that's down the road or on myrighthorse.org.
I love that. Language is so powerful. And I think people tend to overlook that, you know, but yeah, something as simple as reframing it from like, oh, a rescue, mm-hmm. right? Like, everyone loves to be like, I rescued him. And it's like, well, yes, but also like, that changes the whole narrative about that horse, right? That, like,
yeah,
you know, it was down on its luck. And it's like, no, not necessarily, you know, it was just transitioning from one phase of life to another. So I love that you guys are making an effort to do that. I think that's really critical.
Yeah. Yeah. It really opens up a world of possibilities for those horses. And especially, you know, we know many of these horses came from a great career home and just need support and a little bit of retraining to be ready for that next home. And that's where aftercare and these adoption groups come in, of offering that so that we can, you know, help those horses into that next phase of their life.
I love it. Cool. I'm like going through all these horses. There's this really cute Arab. And for listeners who've been with us for a while, like, I grew up with Arabians. They have a very special place in my heart. His name is Mystery. And just reading his bio here, that he's incredibly intelligent and good natured. He's made a lot of progress and is very studious, and that he loves people. Like, I think, again, that stigma of like, oh, are they going to be afraid? Am I going to have this big like rehab case and have to work through it? It's like, no, like, Mystery's here, and he's, like you said, in transition and ready to meet his forever home, you know, whatever brought him into aftercare. Because not everyone wants to sell their horse either and be responsible for finding that home. There's a lot of horses, I think, who are surrendered because their owner's like, I'm not in the place anymore, but I know you'll find the right home for them for me.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, pulling back to that all breed perspective, you know, what we see on a national scale is horse owners traditionally haven't had a lot of options if they're experiencing a big move, a life change, a family illness. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the reasons why horses need to be supported through those transitions. These owners need a safe place to turn so that the horse can be successfully rehomed. So, you know, that's a big part. We see that almost every time. It's never something with the horse. It's always something that's happening in their owner's life. So having these adoption groups that can support and be in the community and support owners when they need that safe place to turn is just critically important. And it circles back to adoption. When every horse is adopted, it opens a stall for that next horse that needs that spot. So it's really creating a sustainable model where, you know, we always have a safe place for a horse to go when their owner needs help rehoming them. And consequently, you know, there's that happy home waiting, and take that horse the next step in their journey.
Well, and again, like, that language sort of like, and reframing this whole conversation, it removes so much. Like, I've seen in the past, like with a local rescue that took in horses where, you know, it was the end of the owner's life, and they ended up taking in these horses that the family had been caring for, but didn't know anything about horses. So like, the feet were very long and the horses were a little thin, and there was so much public shaming going on about, you know, how awful the owners must have been to let the horses get in this condition. It's, you know, I think the way you guys are reframing adoption and that conversation is removing so much of that, like public shaming in that situation does nobody any good. Like, no. It's a sad thing for everybody that was involved in that particular, you know, horse's case. So like, it is what it is. But yeah, I think this sort of reframing of this conversation through Right Horse is so important to, you know, keep it horses first and not, you know, whatever circumstances led these horses to where they are, you can't control that right now. So I love that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that example is so powerful. You know, those owners had just gotten a horse because they lost someone in their family. How devastating is that? And if they had known where they could have turned for support earlier, you know, hopefully those horses would have never had, you know, those long hooves and could have gotten the care a little bit earlier. And that's kind of big picture where we're trying to go, because that's a hard situation for everyone involved, and you know, have to look at it with compassion from all angles.
Yeah. So some of the other cool stuff that you do that, you know, I get to witness in these meetings, you know, is the, I think the Horse Adoption Express is very cool. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that could help out anybody looking to adopt a horse next month?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's really two ways the Horse Adoption Express is used, and it's a horse transport program that we have. So the first is we recognize that certain breeds are more popular in certain areas, and they may have a long waiting list for that breed and very rarely get them in. So for example, if we have a partner in Texas that has a ton of sport horse riders looking for thoroughbreds, but they very rarely get a thoroughbred into their program, if we can transport from one partner who has, you know, a variety of thoroughbreds coming into their program at any given time over to that partner in Texas where there's a waiting list for those horses, we can more efficiently match them with a great home. So we transport horses between partners to help ideally, again, get them adopted a little bit quicker and that perfect match is waiting for them. But then we also believe that the right horse is never in the wrong spot. So if someone's really excited about adopting, comes to myrighthorse.org and finds a wonderful horse that's halfway across the country, that shouldn't be a barrier to getting that wonderful horse. So if transport's the piece that's holding up that adoption, the Horse Adoption Express offers a stipend to help get that horse to the adopter. And then, you know, the benefit of this network is we have partners all around the country, so they still have semi-local or local, you know, organization that they can work with if, as they get to know their new horse, but we're trying to remove distance as that piece that's holding up a wonderful adoption.
I love that. I love that network aspect too, where it's like, okay, like I adopted a horse from Kansas and brought it to New York, but I'm struggling in New York, but I have a local right horse partner I can work with. That's really cool.
Yeah.
To think of it that way. Nice.
I love this. So Kaylin, if listeners want to get involved or even adopt a horse through Right Horse, what's the best way they can support this month?
That's such a great question. So the first thing, if you're interested in a horse or you know somebody who is interested in adopting a horse, going to myrighthorse.org and browsing the available horses is a great way to get started with adoption. All of our partners list their horses on that site, so it's a great place to explore from trusted organizations and really start down that exciting road of finding a new horse for your family. But we know not everyone can adopt, and that's totally fine because there's so many great ways to get involved during Adopt a Horse Month. One is going to myrighthorse.org and sharing adoptable horses and the profiles of adoptable horses with your horse-loving friends, on social media, with your trainer, with your vet, and making them aware of these incredible horses that are looking for homes. Because that's quite literally a way that you can connect the right horse with their right person and raise the profile of adoption. On that vein, we also encourage people to simply start talking about adoption anytime you're talking about acquiring a horse. Again, going back to the equine professionals in your life, telling them about the Right Horse program and all of our amazing partners, and that adoption as an option can spread a lot of awareness. You can also become a volunteer. We have on our website, aspcarighthorse.org, all of our partners listed on a map. So there's more than likely one somewhat near you, and going and volunteering, getting involved with an adoption or aftercare organization can be a great way to go. And then many of our partners also have foster programs. So maybe you're not looking to bring a permanent residence home, but you have an extra stall on your property or, you know, want to make a difference and could rent a stall at a local barn, that can be another great way to get involved. But word of mouth is hard to overstate how powerful this is during a month like Adopt a Horse Month. We're really just trying to get adoption out there and make people aware that it is an option when they're looking to acquire a horse. So sharing on social media, posting about adoption, and sharing the profiles of adoptable horses are incredibly powerful ways to get involved and make a life-saving difference.
Love it. Tell your friends that you heard it on Retired Racehorse Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Share this episode.
There you go.
So Adopt a Horse Month runs through the entire month of May. So we're a little bit ahead, giving you plenty of time to prepare listeners, whether you are looking for your next horse of any breed. I know we are privy to thoroughbreds and standardbreds here, but listen, we're here for every horse who's ready for that next home. And we support it all at the end of the day. If you end up adopting a horse, let us know. We want to celebrate you. And if you heard it from this episode that inspired you, please tag the right horse. That also helps them as well. And if you're not in the space to bring a horse home, you were given lots of options. Sharing is free on all your social media. That's a quick and easy way to do it. But if you're able to help in any other capacity, I know the right horse would appreciate it. Kaylin, where's the best way or place that our listeners can follow all of the activities the right horse is doing?
Yeah, myrighthorse.org is, again, great place to meet all the horses. But then you can also follow us on ASPCA Right Horse on both Facebook and Instagram. And we'll be celebrating adoption all month long using hashtag adopt a horse and then sharing content that would be great to share with followers. So we'd love it if you come visit us and check it out and stay in tune with the action.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining and sharing all the amazing things about adoption. We can't wait to celebrate this month with you. And we look forward to seeing what else you're able to accomplish this year.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all you do. And very happy to be here today. We appreciate the opportunity.
Cashel has been crafting top-notch products since 1986, designed to make your ride safer, more convenient, and downright enjoyable. From the Crusader Fly Mask, the ultimate fly mask, trusted by riders nationwide, to the Blanket Top Performance Felt Pad with pressed felt with merino fleece. It's like a spa day for your horse's back. To the beautiful beaded halters, adjustable, durable, and gorgeous. Visit CashelCompany.com today and gear up for the ride of a lifetime. Cashel, where quality meets the saddle. Well, Joy, we're back with Making the Makeover, which is always my favorite part of the episode, just because I like getting to know these trainers for a whole season. And we just make like a happy little Retired Racehorse Radio family. And then we get to go to the makeover and cheer them on. So we have with us today, Dana Johnson, who we met, I think, two episodes ago. So Dana, welcome back.
Thank you, ladies. Happy to be here.
And remind us what you call, I love just saying his full name, John's Buckeye Bad Boy, and it's all one word. What do you call him in the barn? You call him Buckeye. Buckeye, not John. Yep. Okay.
No, not John.
That would be a little too on the nose. I don't know. I have Jobber Bill and his connections called him Billy, and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
So, no, I would love to have a horse named John in the barn because I would just want people to think I'm having an affair on a regular basis.
I have to go see John. And yeah,
I'm
like,
you know, I'm spending John the night with John.
Oh my God.
John and I are going away this weekend.
I would have too much fun with that.
Okay. Well, maybe you should. Okay. Well, we'll
talk about that. You might have to have an alias.
Yes. Buckeye. Yeah. Yeah. Someone will be like, yeah, she calls him Buckeye, but his name is John. Okay. Well, that's fun. Okay. So, well, what have you and how's spring going with Buckeye? What have you guys been up to recently since we last spoke?
So, we're doing like this, I think it's like a 60-day program or something through the Equistep app. So we've been working on that for our daily, like our weekly rides and things like that. And he's coming along really well. Like, I almost don't even want to say that because then something's going to come down from the sky and totally like just mess up all our plans. But yeah, everything's going pretty well. He's just kind of plugging along. It's not Equistep, it's Ride IQ.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, I was like
you're doing 4-H.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. No, I knew like, because Equistat is the Western based website where you can track like performance and stuff.
Oh, Equistat. I thought it was Equistep. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like a 4-H thing going on. That's neat too.
Yeah.
Okay,
my brain scrambled eggs today. So yeah,
we love Ride IQ though. That Ride IQ program is really cool. So we need to have them on at some point too. So that's neat. Oh, I'm glad you're
really been enjoying that.
Nice. And I think that's really cool to know that, because I know you're, you know, kind of coming at him with an all-around approach, but like sort of gearing towards a ranch. And I think it's neat that that kind of initially an eventing heavy app, you know, has applications for all disciplines too, which is really encouraging.
Yeah. I feel like even though it definitely is more, a little bit more eventing minded, it still puts just a really good all-around foundation and just restarting for that. I think like the last week there's like intro to jumping and stuff like that. We're like, oh, we'll probably skip that. But I mean, up to that point, it really puts a really good all around just, and it really kind of just gives you a structured program. Like these are, I really enjoy the hack chats too, but yeah, we're getting lots of use out of that. I really like it.
Nice. Well, and like, you know, flat work is flat work. So that's great that it, you know, proving that in fact, well-broke horses are the same in every discipline. So
yeah,
I love that. Nice. So now you are an adult amateur trainer. So what is your day gig? Like, what do you do by day?
By night is I am a home birth midwife. So I travel to people's homes, do prenatal postpartum care and attend their births.
What a gig. That is like,
I'm thoroughly fascinated.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome. How do you keep all the plates spinning?
So I have an amazing support system between my husband. I have a teenage son, really cool friends and local family that step in. So if I have to run out in the middle of the night or in the middle of an afternoon or something, everybody just kind of picks up the pieces and keeps everything going just like I would if I wasn't home. And I do keep it really low volume. So I only see 2 clients a month. So really in theory, it's only like twice a month I might have to run out unexpectedly, which is pretty low. Like usually I just keep my schedule going as normal and it's always unless I'm at a birth.
Oh, that's wild. I love mm-hmm. that. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So like, I know that we probably have some listeners and I know like people, you know, guests and folks on our orbit who are doing full watch right now. So you're kind of on baby watch, like kind of all the time, right? Like a little bit.
Well, I had one baby already. So I have 5 days off call and then I go back on call this coming weekend for another baby. But
oh, wow.
So I'm making the most of my 5 days.
I love that. So how does that work for horse shows and stuff? Like if you're going to go off property, you just sort of like time it and hope for the best. And
how do you not have anxiety about your phone going off?
So I think I've got to the point where I'm totally desensitized to the phone. Like I'm like, yes, it's going to happen. It's going to go off. I do tell clients, I mean, we're fairly lucky where we are. We have lots of showgrounds that are like within an hour or so radius where all my clients are. So I always stay like right within that hour, hour and a half. I think the only thing that I do a little differently when people are in their due windows is sometimes we might, for 2 day shows, we might haul and then haul home and then come back the next morning when really it would be more convenient to stay the night. But I hate to like pack up the horse and haul out in the middle of the night and like get everybody in a tizzy at the showgrounds. So it's just a little bit more traveling.
That's very respectful of you though. Yeah. Here goes Dana in the middle of the night, just rolling.
Right. We're on 2 wheels running out at 3 a.m.
Yeah. Hang on, Buckeye. Here we go. So now he's kind of a big boy. Like I'm looking, I'm cheating and looking at his profile page. So he's a 17 hander. So, you know, which is generally a little bit bigger than you might normally find in the ranch pen. But oh, yeah. I assume that he's, you know, again, flat work being flat work and horses getting a good foundation, like size doesn't matter. Can I say that on this show? I'm going to say it anyway.
I feel like that's appropriate.
I feel like it's still rated G. Glenn will let us know.
Okay, size doesn't matter. It's fine.
If it gets edited out later, we'll know.
We'll know why. But in this context, I'd say it's all good.
So yeah, I did debate about going like hunter direction with him, but ranch riding is kind of like where I'm at in the season of my life and what I was currently doing discipline wise. And once, you know, I got him to the barn and I'd been watching him for a while and was super excited to get him, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, hunter, like, but as I was going to more like ranch riding clinics and ranch shows and things like that, I was like, oh no, like he's enjoying this. He likes the cows. Like he really seems to like it. So he kind of picked it himself. I wasn't necessarily like, yes, this is what you have to do. That's what he seems to enjoy. So we're just kind of rolling with it.
Yes. Good boy. Yeah. So my husband's horse is 16.2-ish. I don't know. What do you think, Joy? Like we've never put a stick on him, but I assume that's about what he's at.
16.2.
Yeah. Now, admittedly, like he is not the fastest thing on his feet, but like, I think so often we equate being small as a horse with being fast. And I don't think that those things correlate at all. You know, like, yes, the polo people tend to like a smaller horse and the cow horse people tend to like a smaller horse so they can really kind of get down and low with the cow. But there's actually no rule that says a bigger horse can't also be effective. And it might just take a little bit of a different approach, you know, to like conditioning and making sure that your foundation is correct, you know, because he's bigger, but that doesn't like preclude him from doing these things. Yeah. So, yeah, I love that. I mean, I've done ranch work out west on like full Percherons and Percheron crosses. So they're actually getting quite popular for ranch work, like actual working ranch.
Super interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it's the height size so much as like the muscle to them, which, you know, having like Eric last summer we were trying to rope a cow and the idea was he was going to rope this cow and gently lay her down with a particular rope catch. And then I was going to we call Jobber the medic because he'll just park wherever with the medicine bag on the saddle. And, you know, I draw up the shots and give her the shots. And that was the plan. But we discovered that this, like, probably 1,800 pound cat, like, she's a big girl. Like, she was actually kind of pulling Shorty off his feet. And I was like, this is where a horse with a little more heft would be useful. And I think that's why those draft crosses are getting popular out west, because they're big enough to really, like, rope and bring down a full size cow. Where your little quarter horses actually may not be. So, yeah. So there you go. You're just, you know, yeah, you're following the trend.
We're just progressive. We're ahead of the, exactly. Of the trends.
Yes. Perfect.
Yes. You're trailblazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now last time I remember I was like, you should come to our show series because you and I are not too terribly far apart, like on the map. You know, if you made a little triangle, like the showgrounds that my husband and I go to would sort of be like just the third point. So are you thinking about it? Will we see you this summer?
Yes, we will be seeing you guys there. We'll be there actually in about 2 weeks for the startup weekend and a cattle clinic. I do have one mom and her due window though. So I'm not sure if we'll be there Sunday for the show. We'll see. As long as I'm not catching a baby, then we'll be at the show on Sunday also.
That's we'll just so get wild good at your to roping. Think about.
Yeah, then you can just right? catch the baby in your, yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I will not be at that show because our horses will like barely be conditioned in time, but we're going to be at the first show in May. So hopefully if you enjoy it and come back for the first regular May show, we'll see you in person. We'll have to do some like live stuff or something for our social media.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm really excited. It is really cool that showground and like having tip classes and stuff like that so close, especially in ranch riding is just in cow horses. It's pretty crazy. What a cool resource we have like right there.
Yeah. It's like really, really hard to find tip ranch classes. So I hope that it kind of becomes a destination for cow horse people, you know, in that like tri-state, like New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania area. And I guess you could come up from West Virginia too.
I hope so.
So
how many like last year, how many did you have in the tip classes?
Four. There was me and my husband and then two siblings from further west in Ohio. Like, I think they drove about 5 hours to get there, but they saw the tip classes and they were like, we're going. So yeah, it was really cool. I don't know if they're going to be back because I think the daughter might be starting college. So I don't know if she'll be back or not, but I hope so. So yeah, definitely Eric and I will be in all the cow horse classes. So yeah, give us a buddy.
Oh, nice.
Eric's cool. Like, wait a minute. Don't invite people because what if she's really good and she beats us? I was like, she probably will be really good and beat us. It's fine. So
No. I'm there to learn from you guys.
Oh, mercy. Well,
that's no, it's all good.
Blind leading the blind. It'll be fun.
It'll be a good time.
No, super friendly showgrounds, like very friendly to thoroughbreds. And yeah, everyone's very cool. So we'll have a good time. We're going to hang out. It's going to be great. Now that we've given Joy FOMO.
No, I'm here for it. I'm just going to be rooting in the back. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have to make a trip up for one of the shows, Joy.
Oh, I mean, to see my buddy Wes out there, of course I will.
Oh, yeah. I bet we can. I've never tried to put all three horses on my trailer and I might blow up my truck, but for you, I will do it. So
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I love it. So what else do you have on the calendar? Like, what are you looking forward to coming up in May? You know, we mentioned the horse shows, but do you have any like goals that you want to reach training wise?
So training wise, I would say right now, our biggest thing is getting him to soften. And he is going really nicely, like walk, trot, canter under saddle, but he's still like running into the canter. So just to kind of like, you know, tuck him back up under himself a little bit and get him to, you know, but he's just a baby. He's still learning. So technically according to the jockey club, he's five, but he won't actually turn five for like another 2 weeks. So he's still a baby.
He is a baby. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Kristen, I feel like getting a thoroughbred off the track thoroughbred to learn to lope is a interesting struggle, especially I can imagine a 17 hand baby who's learning his legs. Game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things like, and you know, and the nice thing at the makeover is like everyone will be on the same page. Like everyone's taken a horse in its first year and tried to, you know, put it in this. The nice, and that's why I like the ranch disciplines is because you can be more forward, right? Like you don't need that Western pleasure, like bidding, bidding, bidding little lope, you know, you can kind of move out and it's cool because you're supposed to be covering ground. So this is where I think this is just such a great Western outlet for these horses, but it is a long game, you know? So it's like, you'll achieve so much in this first year going to the makeover. And then like 3 years from now, you'll look back and be like, wow, look how far we've come since then. You know, so it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, how many years have I been working Jobber in the Snaffle and finally put him in the Rommel Reigns last year and was like, oh, I should have done this a year earlier.
But that's
like,
really true.
Was a big investment of time to really like finish him. So, you know, but that's the way it's supposed to be. So that's okay.
Yeah, we'll take, I mean, he's definitely very willing. And that's what thing I love, like, I just loved about him, even as like a yearling when he was still with his trainer at the track, he just has so much personality. And he's just such a good, like, he tries, he will try his heart out for whatever you're asking. He might not know what you're asking, but he's going to try all the answers until he gets it right. So he's very willing.
Love him. Those are the things you start to like tell the stories and you feel your eyes tearing up because you're like, they just try so hard. I don't understand.
Yeah. His heart is so big.
I know. Thoroughbreds are so great. I love them. That's why I love talking with, you know, these new trainers episode after episode, because everyone kind of gets this like, they're so good. I don't deserve them. You know, and we don't deserve these horses.
It is like seeing like a kid go to school, and I am not a parent. I've not gone through that experience, but I imagine it's like watching your kid kind of do some of their firsts and being really proud you helped them to get there.
I would say 100%.
I feel validated now.
What's even cooler is when you get to like the next level of parenting and you see your kids achieving that with their horses too. And then you're like, oh my gosh, it's come full circle.
See, that's really nice. Well, I'm so excited to hear about how your first outing goes. And especially, again, a lot of applause to you because my type A personality of like always doomsday searching of like, oh, I'm going to get to the show and then someone's going to have their baby and then I'm going to have to stop the show and then I'm going to have to go deliver the baby. Like I would be there. So I would just talk myself out of not going, but I applaud you and your ability to organize and stay calm.
Hey, that's one. We are chaos coordinating over here. As long as we just have everybody on standby and hope for the best. Plan, like have backup plans for the worst and, you know, but hope for the best and just make a good day out of it. So
I'm going to hire you as my life coach.
I was going to say, I was like, you have the right personality for this. Like Dana's like, I got it, man. Everything is going to be fine. So
it'll all fall into place.
You also, that puts you in the right mindset for the makeover too. Like it's going to be what it's going to be. You're going to plan, you're going to have a backup plan and you're going to just enjoy the ride. So love it. Exactly. Love it. Put it on a t-shirt. Along with,
we could probably,
I don't know, we got to retire the content saying this year, Joy. Everyone is just so zen this year.
I know. It's not like everything is content. It's like everything's a vibe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're in our vibe era this year. I like it.
It's our vibe era.
I like it. We were actually, before I came here, I was with my farrier and he was laughing at me because my shirt today says it is what it is and it's not great and it's just a raccoon, like totally zenned out. And he was just like, yeah, that matches your personality. It is what it is.
I love it.
Icon. Dana, remind us where people can follow your journey on social media if they desire.
So I have been doing the most updates on TikTok and it's Buckeye Birth.
Love it. Oh, that's so cute. I get it. Okay.
You know, that never dawned on me until like 4 or 5 months after I owned Buckeye that like my business and his name like coincide. So.
Meant to be.
Yeah.
Mascot status. I love it. He's like very quintessentially Ohio. It's so good.
I know. Yeah. He's a good boy. So
that's awesome. Well, Dana, we'll look forward to cheering you on for your first show. And then hopefully I will look forward to meeting you at a show after that.
Sounds wonderful. I cannot wait.
Horse ownership is nothing short of exciting. From horse shopping and adopting, finding the perfect name and imagining all the fun goals for you and your horse, there's a lot to be excited about before bringing your new horse home. But horse ownership is a lot of responsibility, and there are a lot of things to learn to start your relationship with your new horse on the right path. My New Horse by Equine Network offers a one-stop shop for learning all things horse ownership, whether it's your first time owning or looking for a refresher. We're going to hear a little bit more about them now.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbine to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Well, normally, Kristen, I know we talk to new vocations, but we are going to do something a little bit different. We're still going to have an adoptable horse to feature, but I'm very honored and excited to introduce Mareworthy Charities. Kyle Rolfes runs this aftercare program, and he's come on to talk about Mareworthy before. So I'm happy to share some of those episodes if it's new to you. But what's unique about this aftercare program is they provide a safe landing spot specifically for mares. So there are some mares on there who aren't really available for adoption. They're called sanctuary mares, and they have very high special needs and aren't suitable necessarily for any home. So they stay at Mareworthy as kind of ambassadors of the program, but they also bring forward several mares who are available for homes. They've actually helped place a few mares already, one being my student's horse, Millie, or Mill Valley Girl is her name. But one of the ones we're going to be featuring in this episode is Abastata. She is a beautiful chestnut mare. I am shocked that she's still here, but if you follow Mareworthy Charities, they've had a lot of foaling lately. That has been the main focus more than their adoptable horses. But Abastata is a sweet, sweet girl. She is a 2008 chestnut mare. She's very athletic, could excel in multiple disciplines. She's got lots of energy and a fun attitude. She definitely likes being the center of attention and likes being in front of a camera. So if you're an Instagram girly or guy like I am, she's going to be great for you. She's going to want to deliver on all that content. She's also eligible for the RRP this year. So personally, I'm shocked she's still here. She's a Smarty Jones mare out of Spin a Mood, and she's had 16 starts, and she last raced in 2013 and was a brood mare, had 6 foals. Chris, I don't know if you had a chance to look at her and your thoughts, but I feel like she's a type of horse who could go in any direction. She's got a nice full body and very even top line.
Yeah, I mean, the bone on this mare is incredible. Like, she's very sturdy. She looks like an easy keeper. She's like a nice, chunky girl. And I know, like, we tend to think, like, as a society, we tend to think, like, oh, older broodmare had 6 foals. She's probably got, like, a dippy back and a permanent gut. And, like, she's just all stretched. And, like,
she looks not young. She looks like she's 6.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's in beautiful condition, like, ready to go. She does not look like, you wouldn't look at her and think like, ooh, this is a mare that had 6 foals. Like the one confirmation photo, I know that was the photo from when she was purchased. And I think she was in foal at the time perhaps, and has like a little bit of the like baby bump. But the more recent photos of her from the farm, like she's just a nice big bodied girl ready to go. And the Smarty Joneses are like super sought after now for sport. So Smarty Jones won our Sire Madness at Retired Racehorse Project. I don't know how many years ago, a couple years ago, just as like the most popular sire of sport horses. So you really can't go wrong with a Smarty Jones. And yeah, this is just a really nice looking mare. And her adoption fee is $1,500. So she's essentially free.
She's essentially free. And just like New Vocations, Mareworthy Charities does have an application process too. It's on their site, mareworthy.com. So super easy to go in and fill it out. They do have a couple other mares who will be up for adoption soon. So Furthermore is one of them, as well as JWoww, which for you Jersey Shore fans from back in the day, that should get that your attention.
Throwback. I love that.
It really is. They are currently in rehab, full transparency. And my understanding is that they just need glue on shoes. I don't know the long-term needs for that, but I know that Mareworthy is putting in a lot of time and energy working with the best vets and the best farriers to ensure that those horses are getting sound and ready for their next career. So if you're interested, check out mareworthy.com. Also, they are in some pretty dire needs of donations. They had a couple mares who had some very traumatic foaling experiences. So if you can help in any way, maybe adoption isn't the place you're in right now, but you are able to, as I always say, donate a latte. They have a couple programs to get involved to make those donations to help with aftercare. We know that aftercare is a labor of love and it requires a lot of resources to keep all of these horses safe. So also on the Mareworthy site, you can go to their donate page where there's a couple different options. They have some specific active campaigns. One was the Oklahoma Kill Pen Trio, where they brought three mares saved from a kill pen out in Oklahoma. There's their mare-worthy pasture pals. That one's kind of fun. It's kind of like being part of a club where you have a reoccurring donation. I think the minimum is $5. And they send you a letter from Mareworthy and updates on the horses and how you're making an impact. There's a monthly sticker that goes out. I know our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, does something similar. So definitely a cool one if you're in that space to donate on a regular basis. And then they also just have a general donation if you just want to make a one-time donation. So lots of fun things to follow. They also tend to do a lot of different giveaways where a donation can enter you in for a contest. I saw they had a fun like painted sign that's going to be going out for their next one on their Facebook page. So a lot of different ways to support these mares and help ensure that they have that safe landing space. So check them out, mareworthy.com. Get them a follow on Facebook and Instagram. And check out Avastada. She's a really cool mare, and I'm very excited to see her next career too.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram, just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram at The Horseback Rider and on Facebook at Jobber Bill, Racehorse to Ranch Horse. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And add more leg.
Bye, guys, and adopt. Go adopt this month.